Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. But for a radio audience here in Mississippi, at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all could be with us. Also, sending out their online affiliates around the world, including our friends at Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. We're glad you all could be with us, too. You know, when we think about our resume, we typically try to put our best foot and face forward, right, showing people what we've been able to achieve and also why we're the perfect candidate for whatever it is that we're trying to apply for. Our next guest has written a book, though, that makes us think about that resume a little bit differently, especially when it comes to what could be seen as challenges and failures and how those are the things that actually make us best equipped for the things that we want in life. We're excited to welcome Dr. Eli Joseph to our program. His book is called The Perfect Rejection Resume, A Reader's Guide to Building a Career Through Failure. We'll talk to Dr. Joseph not only about the writing of the book, but the great examples he gives throughout it and what he wants you to know about how you can be able to achieve your goals, but also the work involved as well. Dr. Joseph, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Cyrus. I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate that warm introduction.
Amen. Look, it's my pleasure. This book is really, you know, when it was first pitched to me, I was excited, a little intrigued by the title, of course, The Perfect Rejection Resume. But when I got into it, I'm like, you know what? This is what I've been telling people about myself over the years as well, right? Because we do normally think about, you know, the things that make us look good. But as you talk about in the book, those aren't necessarily the things that help us get to where we want to go, right? It is what we've been able to learn through the challenges, the struggles, and the supposed failures. What has it been like for you, Dr. Joseph, to be a part of this conversation and to get people to rethinking the way they look at failure and their accomplishments?
Well, I feel rejuvenated because we tend to use social media and we tend to use resumes to just project the best selves, the best version of ourselves, but we don't really talk about what made us the best version of ourselves. And I believe that the resume that I put out, the rejection resume, it's so perfect. It's not perfect to fail, but it's so perfect that it fits our story moving forward. And I wanted to write the book that allows readers to fail forward and not to be afraid of rejection. So it's more so of a response to those who say, okay, you know what? You may be successful. You probably gotten easy. You probably have a silver spoon, and everything was handed to you. So this is more so of a story that allows readers to say, you know what? It was not handed to me. I had to work hard for it. And this is basically a perfect – it's so perfect that it's my story perfectly. And that's basically what the story is all about.
And I think, too, Dr. Joseph, to that point, I think it also goes to show us, just like with everything else, we normally use the analogy, right, about exercising or, you know, going for a certain goal, that we're not going to be, you know, at point B automatically. There is a process, right, to what we want to do and where we want to be able to go. You said this in the book, and I thought this was really interesting, and I want to actually read it for our audience. It's in Chapter 2. The chapter is called Dream Job Wanted, Just Sleep to Find It. And you write this in the book, and I think, you know, for our audience, if they're truly honest with themselves, you know, what they have to be able to do is to do what you say on page 52. It is hard to accept rejection for something that you want, especially when it is because that person or organization does not want you. You are not their dream. Without tapping into your Black Air Force One mentality, you might just stop pursuing your dreams and settle. That would be tragic, not to mention unfulfilling. I want to talk about that because you referenced the Black Air Force One mentality throughout the book. What is that for you, and how has it helped you to get to where you are?
So we know that the Black Air Force One is an urban – it's a negative connotation within the urban community, that whenever you see someone wearing a Black Air Force One, you know that they are going to get what they need to get by any means, right? So I wanted to adapt that mindset to answer the question, how far are you willing to go to get what you want? And, you know, sometimes we have dreams, we have aspirations. You know, when you're in high school, you have a dream college or a dream institution. When you're in the university, you have a dream job, right? But what if that institution does not believe that you are the dream candidate for them? How would you react? How can you create other opportunities for yourself to fulfill your dreams in other areas so that way you don't have to, you know, be depressed or be stressed on the simple fact that the institutions that you are pursuing may not be the institution for you as well. So it has to be. It's also another a form of reciprocity, because, you know, sometimes we tend to project our goals in terms of what we want, but we also have to be, you know, mindful of the fact that, you know, you may not be the right person for an organization, for a person as well. So I wanted to stress on that, because that's also a form of rejection. It's a form of rejection where, you know, you're pursuing something, but that what you're pursuing is not really interested in what you have to offer at the moment. But it's not all about just, you know, feeling sorry for yourself. You have to just move on. And you have to also answer, you have to find ways to answer the question, how far are you willing to go to pursue what you want to get in life?
Yeah, yeah, and you bring up a point, Dr. Joseph, a moment ago about social media, and it is so true. Of course, that is probably until the algorithm changes. And we all look for this curated image that we can, you know, kind of portray for people, right, to make everything seem just right. It goes to something though that you write, and again going back to that mentality in chapter 5. I didn't say it was your fault. You say this, and I think this is a good reminder, and I want to dive into this a bit. You write in under Finding Your Way, the subheading, everyone falls and loses now and again. Only the resilient, those with the Black Air Force One mentality, know how to categorize that loss and use it as fuel to move on. And I thought that was so interesting when I got to that point, Dr. Joseph, because unfortunately, the way so many of us were taught, or what we told ourselves, is if something doesn't work, that means it's not right, or that I should stop, or that maybe someone was right in telling me I shouldn't try to do that. Why is it important for us to assess instead of just naturally giving up?
Well, part of the reason why we just have to assess ourselves, because some things we cannot control, right? And hence the reason why I say it's not your fault. We can't control things that are not within our powers to control. However, we also have to take accountability for, you know, our actions as well. So it's actually a two-part version where I said within the previous chapter, I said, it may not be your fault. But the next chapter says, but I'm going to blame you. And it's right, because there's things you can't control in life, whether you're running late for an important meeting, whether it's raining that day and, you know, it's a disaster. Things you can't really control is out of your power to control. However, you have to take accountability and you have to put the blame on yourself. However, you can't just put the blame on yourself and feel sorry for yourself. You have to do something about it. That's the reject. Like when you reject it, it's okay. It's like, all right, you know what? You got punched in the face. Great. What you going to do about it? Are you going to sit here and complain and cry all day, or are you going to just get up, keep moving forward, and become resilient and become that person that you inspire to be? So I tend to say, you know what, you don't have to you know, give yourself that fault. However, pat your shoulder and say, you know what, it's my bad. It's not my fault, but I'm going to put the blame on myself, and I can correct the actions that I can correct, and moving forward, there may be a better outcome in the future. And it may not be a better outcome. It may be the same outcome, but it's a perfect alignment within your story of success.
Yeah, I think that is it. And I think, too, realizing, you know, as we have come to know, even though it's not easy to remember, that a lot of times these things work together for our good anyway, to be able to help us to be even more equipped for what is to come. We're going to dive into that, too. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Dr. Eli Joseph is our guest. We're talking about his book, The Perfect Rejection Resume, A Reader's Guide to Building a Career Through Failure. As we're having this conversation and talking about blame, you do dive into that a good bit, Dr. Joseph, and you talk about, of course, that a lot of times we do blame others, and a lot of times that is the easy way, right, instead of looking at ourselves. How important has that self-evaluation been for you in getting to your own level of success?
Well, it's very important in my story. When it comes to the amount of fear that I've accomplished in such a small amount of time, I always go by the mantra, and I mention it in the book, that rent is due every day. So, and the currency to pay off my rent, which, and the landlord, by the way, before I even talk about the currency, the landlord to my establishment are my goals. That's the landlord for me. And the currency to pay off rent every day is my effort. So I know I'm going to fail. I look forward to failing every single day. However, I want to put enough effort in so I can succeed at one thing. If I can get one thing and I'm successful at every single day, I paid off my dues. And even if I'm not successful, then I can always take on that lesson. So when in my story, when I was failing in college, I did fail in college prior to even teaching at Columbia University, a school that rejected me as an undergraduate student, right? It's a full circle moment where I took classes. I remember taking 7 classes in 1 semester, 21 credits, and I failed 2 classes. I failed the linear algebra course. I was a math major, right? I failed linear algebra. The next semester, I put my best effort forward, and I ended up taking 10 classes in 1 semester, the spring 2015 semester. And that's 30 credits. 30 credits after failing 2 classes of the 21 credits. And I ended up graduating. And it was just basically putting that best foot forward, that effort. Every single day, I'm going to fail, but I want to make sure I put the best foot forward so that way my outcomes supersede my expectation as well. And that's basically the idea of, you know, failing forward and, you know, basically just putting that best foot forward so that way, you know, you can have better outcomes in the future.
Yeah. You know, as we're having this conversation, when we're talking about, as the subtitle says, A Reader's Guide to Building a Career Through Failure, I want to flip it for a second and talk about success, because, again, one of the things you do in the book, you ask the audience, the reader, a question, Dr. Joseph, that is an important one for all of us, and I think it's another thing that's gotten kind of lost. In one of the profiles you do of a model, Jerry, you end that profile by asking, what does success look like for you? How important has that been for you to identify for yourself personally and not let what someone else's idea of success be what you kind of judge yourself by?
I always believe that success, it's a moving target. It's a moving target as you move along and as you accomplish what you need to accomplish in the past. And this is why I really don't believe in, you know, the absolute or the perfect dream job, because your goals are constantly moving. It's a moving target.
Right.
So when I look at it and within that interlude, I ask the question, is there a perfect model for success? And the reason why I use Jari Lee, because she's a model herself, and she used to be a journalist, and she's a brilliant. She was a brilliant journalist. She was a deputy editor at BuzzFeed, and now she quit and became a full-time model, and she's doing great. She's killing it. However, when she shared her rejection resume, It basically prompted the question, like, is there a perfect model? How can we, like, or is there a perfect, and this is the word perfect here, the word perfect, it aligns with your own personal story. So as I'm moving along, my goals are constantly changing. However, it fits the overarching story of my life. It's answering the question, like, to the question of success, how am I going to navigate that? And I can't use the same techniques. I can't use the same methods as before to accomplish my previous goals, but I can use the lessons that I've learned from the previous goals to find new methods to go about, you know, accomplishing the next goal forward. So I look at my goals in life as, like, it's a moving target, and I have to continuously move and pay and continue to pay off my dues, so that way I can accomplish the goals to fit perfectly behind my story of success. And I believe that everyone has their own story, their own version of success, and everyone should align their resume. They should align their resume of positivity with the resume of negativity as well, so they can reflect and take the negative of the lessons from the negative the resumes that they got and fit it perfect towards the positive resume that they, that they're pursuing as well in the future.
Yeah. And again, that's why this conversation I think is so important, because again, it gets us to thinking about things a little bit differently. And I think, you know, if we're able to do that, then we're able to not only to make decisions that will help us get where we want to get, but also realize that even the things that sometimes we shied away from may be actually key to us getting there. I think that's the other side of it too. In chapter 4 of the book, if something's impossible, then isn't it possible that nothing is impossible? And I love the fact how you kind of play on that, especially when you say anything is impossible, and you then say, but it is impossible to do if you don't commit to doing the extraordinary. I want to talk about what you hope readers take away from this book, because I like the fact that it's very easy to read. It's something that I think gets us to being honest with ourselves, which, side note, is not always the easiest thing to do, but you invite us to do that in talking about this topic. What do you hope readers get, Dr. Joseph, by the end when it comes to looking at what they've done, but also where they want to go?
If they were to read the book, the number one thing that I would like for them to walk away from as far as reading the book is, with effort, nothing is impossible, right? And this is the play on the word, you know, if it's possible that nothing is impossible, then we have to understand that there are world records exist for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? World records exist for a reason. Things that we thought was impossible in the past, we're now accomplishing it, and it's easy for us to accomplish, right? But it took effort, it took heart, it took grit to get there. We're going to fail to get to where we need to get, but one day we will be successful. And I wanted readers to walk away saying, you know what, I want to feel comfortable talking about how I fail. Oftentimes we tend to highlight LeBron James. We hate on LeBron James, and we hate on Steph Curry. We hate on the great athletes, Michael Jordan. We hate on the entertainers, right? But they're in the public limelight. We tend to hate and we don't spend enough time talking about our own failures, and we don't have to spend that introspective moment where we're reflecting on our own failures, right? We always talk about others, but we tend to hide our hands and say, oh, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm trying the best to accomplish what we need to accomplish. And the book, I want everyone reading the book to say, I failed too, right? I failed just like how everyone else fell, but I breathe the same air that everyone else breathes. I have the same time that everyone else have, whether it's 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week. Everyone has the same time frame. What are we going to do to optimize our time to accomplish the dreams that we want to accomplish ourselves? And in order for us to do that, we also have to spend that time to reflect on the times that we failed in the past. So that way we can feel comfortable talking about our weaknesses and our failures. So that way, you know, it bridges that gap to success. And that's basically what I want readers to get from that book.
Yeah. I think that's it. And I think, again, knowing that it can happen, regardless of what other people may have said to us or what we have said to ourselves, that, you know, we can be the one to actually make it a reality if we're willing to do that work. Again, everyone, Dr. Eli Joseph has been our guest. The book is The Perfect Rejection Resume, A Reader's Guide to Building a Career Through Failure. I got it through our friends at Amazon.com. You can get your copy of it there as well. Dr. Joseph, how can our audience stay connected with you and kind of keep up with what's next for you?
You can connect with me on Instagram, Twitter, all the major social media platforms. I try to keep the handles the same, and it is DreliJoseph. That's Dr. Eli Joseph, straight on. DreliJoseph. I'm available on Instagram, Twitter, even TikTok. Clubhouse, Facebook, LinkedIn as well, Eli Joseph, pretty much all the social media platforms. I try to keep the username the same so that way everyone can find me with the same username, password through all the social media platforms. And I look forward to, you know, connecting and engaging with everyone as well.
Gotcha. We've already tagged you on LinkedIn and Twitter on our end, so we'll make sure to remind our audience of that. Dr. Joseph, really appreciate this time and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. I really appreciate you as well. Look forward to meeting and hearing from you as well.
All right, then. Definitely we'll do that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.